The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh, and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. With me today is Peter Benjamin, CEO of plantation firm United Malacca Berhad. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thank you, good morning.
United Malacca started with 460 acres of rubber in 1910 before diversifying into palm oil in 1966 and today remains a small player in the industry with its 49,000 hectares of land. Despite your small size, your yields surpass a number of giants in the plantation industry. What's the secret to all of this?
Well, it's actually how we manage our plantations. And another important factor is actually our age profile. If you look at our age profile, the growth. If you look at our Malaysian operations, our age profile is only about 10 and a half years. So Indonesian operations, which only started last year, it is about almost 3 years. So we have about 8.5 years old. That's our age profile. So if you look at the age profile, that's why the growth of our production is actually... There's still a lot of room for growth in our plantation because if you look at the prime age of oil palm, actually starts around 7 to 8 years, going up to 18 to 20 years. So we have that growth potential. That's why we are actually in a much better position.
What about your replanting strategy? Because you say a number of them are now 8.5 years old. Are you all planting new plants for the future?
Yeah, but if you look at our age profile that is due for replanting, it's just less than 3% of our area that is above 20 years. So we have a replanting program over the next 4 to 5 years. Each year, we are only looking at about 250 to 300 hectares of replanting. So it's a small area compared to our land bank.
The company's production was hit 2 years ago when the El Nino affected crops and you have yet to fully recover from that. When do you think you will fully recover?
2018. You see, 2017 is actually the recovery period. It's just turning around. So if you look at the production going up now, October, November, December, January, if you got to trace back the weather pattern in 2015. So you're looking at a growth in the production, improvement in production going into the next few months. But a full recovery you will see in 2018.
In terms of earnings, net dividend yield per share is back to the 3% range.
Yeah.
When I check, so it was at 3.7% for FY 2017 from a 5-year low of 2.5% in 2015. That was when your plants were hit as well as your earnings. What is fueling this earnings, the current earnings that seems to have come back?
Well, one is CPO price was good last year. So that has helped in our earnings. If you really look at our profit compared to the previous year and to the last year, our profit was about 42% higher compared to the previous year. So that did help on our earnings. And also our production, despite the El Nino impact. Malaysian operations alone, our production was actually higher by 2% compared to the previous year. And total was 8% because the balance came from our Indonesian operations, which was we had a full year of production coming from Indonesia for the first time.
So do you see this earnings trend, is it sustainable?
Production is sustainable. We see a good production growth about 10 to 12% for the coming year. It all depends on the CPO price. So far, the CPO price has been holding quite well. So we are looking at a reasonably good earning this year as well.
What's your take on the CPO price moving forward?
Yeah, currently, it's about ranging about 2,750 ringgit per ton CPO. We expect this to sustain for the current calendar year. For 2018, we predict the prices will soften for the average for the whole of 2018 because we expect production to pick up. But this will be, palm oil will recover fully from the impact of El Nino in 2018. So with the increase in production, and also if you also need to observe the soybean market, soybean productions are also expected to increase. So because CPO price is pegged to soybean as well, and also the crude oil is going up. So we expect to CPO price to soften a bit in the coming year.
So when it softens, what are you going to do about that? What's your strategy to ensure that it doesn't hit your earnings?
Actually, it's production. Mm. You see, the production will pick up, so our earnings we can sustain.
United Malacca started mitigating risk 2 years ago, and you went all out into mechanization. How is that panning out?
Oh, indeed. Mechanization did help us, you see, because in the plantation industry, labor is the biggest challenge. All the whole industry is facing labor shortage. This shortage is actually coming around because we are finding it difficult to get labor. Indonesia was our biggest market. But because of the expansion in Indonesia, you find Indonesian guest workers reluctant to come over because the minimum wage in Indonesia is also like has gone up. So they're almost like on par with Malaysia. So they would prefer to stay back in their home country than coming over. And now we are looking at Bangladesh and Nepal to recruit our guest workers. The challenge for Bangladesh and Nepalese workers are they take a longer period to adapt to the plantation environment compared to the Indonesians. So that is the biggest challenge. So when we rolled out mechanization 2 years ago, the shortage of labor, we were able to mitigate that because we went out for infield collection using all mechanized for mechanization for infield collection. So it helped us actually cushion the shortage of labor.
How much did you invest into mechanization?
Okay, for last year alone, we have invested almost about 1.5 million.
Moving forward, do you think you continue?
Another 1.5 million.
For how long?
At least for Malaysian operations, that is Sabah and Peninsula together, we are looking at it for another 2 more years. We already started Peninsula, we are almost like 80% mechanized. Sabah, we just started this year. We have already done about 30%. So this current financial year, we expect to hit about 50%. And next year, we will increase it further another 20 to 30%. So we are doing it in stages.
So that seems to have helped with your production in a way, right? So
yes.
What returns are you looking at when you go all out into mechanization, and how long would that take, that whole process?
Now, if you talk about returns, it'll be like what we are getting now based on CPO price and production. Basically, this mechanization is to mitigate the labor shortage so that you don't lose your crop. So that's the whole reason of mechanization, and to reduce the dependence on labor.
To mitigate risks from being an upstream business, you're also looking to diversify into cash crops, right? Like that includes cocoa, coffee, coconut, things like that. So how do you plan to execute this?
Actually, we have signed a CSPA with a joint venture partner in Indonesia recently. And the land bank is about 60,000 hectares. Plantable area is about between 35 to 40,000 hectares. So we intend to start off most probably by middle of 2018. So we intend to plant various crops because currently we are just purely a palm oil plantation. And we don't know to mitigate that risk. That is why we are planning to diversify into other crops. We intend to do it in stages. We expect the planting of this to be completed within the next 10 to 15 years.
And what crops are you looking at?
We are looking at stevia will be our biggest crop. Stevia, our main crop. Then we are looking at coconut, coffee and cocoa.
And what's the breakdown target in terms of earnings contribution from these new plants that you're looking at compared to palm oil? What's your target eventually?
Actually, we are looking at an equally revenue-wise to be the same as palm oil because of the various prices and the commodities that we are planting. So our target is basically to maintain the same revenue as palm oil.
Maintain the same, the breakdown in revenue?
Yes.
So currently,
on per hectare basis.
I see.
You know?
Okay. And when it comes to prices, is it better compared to palm oil, these crops?
Yes. Profit-wise, coconut does give you a really better profit than palm oil. At the moment, coconut oil prices have skyrocketed. So they are actually quite, because of the demand. And stevia is also another very interesting crop. It is past catching up, looking at about 8 to 9% growth for the next, by 2020. And coconut is actually growing very fast. It's about 20% growth in coconut. Cocoa is also, you're looking at, by 2030, they're expecting a shortfall of about 30% in the supply chain going forward. And cocoa, yes, and coffee, yes, U.S. is the biggest demand. So you're looking at about 4 to 5% growth. So these potentials are there for the various crops. That is why we are actually moving into this, to diversify into the other crop, to mitigate, I would say, the risk of just being solely a palm oil player.
So is there, do you foresee a time when you do all this and you execute all this, there'll be a time when United Malacca will no longer be so strong and so fully focused on palm oil, where maybe palm oil might just be 30%?
No, palm oil will still be our main crop. We intend to keep palm oil still as our main crop.
I've been speaking to Peter Benjamin, CEO of United Malacca Berhad. After this, we'll take a look at the outlook of plantations and their land bank strategy moving forward. Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, and my guest today is Peter Benjamin, CEO of United Malacca Berhad. Peter, you recently announced the acquisition of a 60% interest in a PT Wana Rindang Lestari, which holds the license to about 60,000 hectares of greenfield production forests for 30.3 million ringgit. And this is to diversify your plants. Are you in talks for any more acquisitions or any more new land banks?
Well, if land bank at reasonable price do come our way, we will still look at acquiring. But that focus will be more towards palm oil as well.
Okay, so you are looking for a new land bank? Or?
Yes.
Which area?
Basically, we are looking at Indonesia. Our land bank, we are focusing on Indonesia because that is where land is available and you get at reasonable price compared to what you acquire in Malaysia. So our focus is, even though we are diversifying to the other crops, if an opportunity does arise for us to acquire more oil palm plantations, we will look at it. If it is at a reasonable price, the location, then we will still look at palm oil.
United Malacca was actively pursuing plantation land bank in neighbouring countries. You mentioned Indonesia, but that time was also Cambodia and Myanmar at one time. Now you have land in Indonesia. Are you still shopping around like the other neighbouring countries outside Indonesia, or are you just focused on Indonesia?
Currently, we are just focusing on Indonesia.
Any reason for that?
Because availability of land in Indonesia, and we are more familiar with the environment and working environment in Indonesia. So we are quite familiar with the regulations and environment. So we will still focus on Indonesia.
Have you found any land that has piqued your interest?
There's the only one that we acquired last year in Kalimantan, and the current one is in Sulawesi. Other than that, we have not come across any other new land.
Because the ideal land banks has already been snapped up from the other plantation, bigger boys, right? So how do you go about that?
It's difficult now because, you see, there is a moratorium on new license in Indonesia. So you will not be able to get any more new land license in Indonesia because of the moratorium. So the only way you can acquire is existing brownfields. You know, all land that license, the available license, new ones, you will not be able to get at the moment. So we have to focus on brownfields or areas that license was issued before moratorium. That's the only way to go forward at the moment.
Okay, let's talk about dividend, because United Malacca is a favourite dividend stock when it comes to investors. Your 12-month yield, when I checked on Bloomberg, it stands at 3.27%, and it has an indicated yield currently at 2.84%. From a 3-year dividend growth perspective, that has dropped a bit, and from a 5-year dividend growth perspective, that has dropped as well. What's the dividend trend moving forward, do you foresee?
We don't have a dividend policy, but we have a dividend practice, a practice that has been in place for over the years. We have a dividend practice of 60% to be allocated for as a dividend, and we intend to continue with the same practice.
Moving forward?
Yes.
Okay, so you still see profits to still continue coming in? You don't foresee a trend that it might drop?
No, we will still see a profit coming in.
Building cash reserves had enabled United Malacca to remain consistently profitable through the years. This was except in, I think, in 1921, during the Great Depression in 1931 and the interruption of your operations during the Japanese occupation, right? So currently, right now, I noticed that in FY 2016, y'all had debt. This is the first time ever in the company's history. So what's the rationale behind that and what are your plans moving forward?
Actually, the rationale behind the borrowing is for our expansion. You see, it's not only we borrowed for the first time, we expanded for the first time overseas. So for us to grow big and to grow overseas, we had to borrow. So that's for us going forward, we're also looking at the same strategy. If we want to grow big, you want to get bigger land banks and expand at a faster pace, we may still consider borrowing if the need arises.
As we're talking about debt, when do you think you'll be debt-free again, or will you raise more debt moving forward? Because the company has always been debt-free until FY 2016.
Yeah, if the need arises, we will still borrow because, you see, we have this expansion plan coming in Sulawesi as well. So, yes, we will look into more debts if the need arises. But it won't be like... we will control our debts if we need to because we are cash, we have cash in hand. And at the same time, when will we be debt-free? It is going forward, looking at this expansion, it's difficult to tell at the moment when we are going to be debt-free.
So when you say you're going to grow big and all, how? What's the game plan for that? Because there are big players at yes. the arena as well. So as a small player, how do you plan to grow big?
Okay, we are not trying to match the bigger players. We are trying to be reasonably big in the sense like now currently we got the Sulawesi projects is about, that is also almost doubled our land bank what we have now. We have 49,000 hectares. So if we can plant another 40,000 hectares, you are talking about another total land bank is about 80,000 hectares. So we are trying to stay within that range about, say, about 100,000 hectares. And that is what we are looking at. We don't intend to like become a very big player. Our growth is very sustainable. We grow at a very conservative pace. If you can see from 1910 until now, we have only grown up to 49,000 hectares. So we are very conservative and we plan to stay in that same trend of being conservative in our approach, even in our growth.
Could you please talk us through your expansion plans?
Currently, we intend to plant up the remaining 6,000 hectares in Sulawesi. We still got about 5,000 to 6,000 hectares to plant. And we are planning to put up a new mill in Sulawesi. The contracts has already been awarded. The work is about to start. And the next area that we intend to grow is in Sulawesi. That'll go on for another few years. So this is where we are focusing. So we are not in a hurry to actually expand. Like I said earlier, if an opportunity comes along to get a good land bank at a reasonable price, we will look at it. Otherwise, we will focus on the current land bank, which is already quite good for us to expand. And we are focusing on that growth at the moment.
How about global warming? Because it's very real today. And weather obviously plays a very big part when it comes to the business that you are in. What are the strategies that you're putting in place to help you buffer the unpredictable weather that is happening right now in the world?
Well, for palm oil, weather is the key. Like you saw, El Nino did affect the production in 2015-16. At the same time, now the current wet weather is also going to affect the production because it's going to affect your evacuation and the formation of your bunches. For us, what we did in United Malacca was we did some mitigation measures. Like we started off with wherever possible to do trenches for water retention. We have land applications from our palm oil mill. At the same time, we are also testing out drip irrigation methods in our plantation. We have already started one in Sabah, and we have started another two plantations in Peninsula. Their work is about to be completed. And the one we started in Sabah is showing pretty good results. So we are actually looking at that. We are testing out methods where we do drip irrigation to mitigate this dry weather.
I see. Earlier we were talking about, you mentioned the age profile of your plants. Since we were talking on that, the average age of your board is above 60 years old. Any plans to refresh the board, or what are the succession plans that have been put in place for the company?
Well, as far as the board is concerned, I think that's to be decided by the board and the chairperson. So we, I mean, you have under the Bursa regulations, time frame for the board members. So we will normally follow those regulations.
Are you all injecting new blood or younger blood into the company?
We already have two new directors that has actually come on board. Mr. Ong Keng Siu from the previous CEO of Paramount. And Dato' Dr. Nick Ramla from Securities Commission, he's also on board. They were the other two new board members. So we have two new board members.
And from your opinion, what is your outlook for the plantation sector moving forward?
Actually, plantation sector, one thing is very challenging. At the same time, it has good, really good potential. If you really look at the report from Oil World, world population is going to hit like 9 billion by 2050. And today, the palm oil production, CPO production is about 60, 65 million tons. By 2050, you are looking at a demand of 95 million tons. You have a gap of 30 million tons to fill within this time period with the population hitting 9 billion. So if you look at the prospects of palm oil, it's really very good. That's why there's a lot of focus on palm oil at the moment, basically because palm oil is one of the most efficiently produced vegetable oil in the world compared to others. We can produce an average of about 3.5 tons, national average, but companies that are run well can touch about 6 tons oil per hectare. So that is the potential, and that is why palm oil is one of the best, actually it is the best oil in the world, which is produced at the cheapest cost. So we can actually give the world the best oil at the cheapest price, and we got to fill up this 30 million tons by 2050. So the prospects of palm oil is actually very good.
I've been speaking to Peter Benjamin. Peter, thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you. I'm Joyce Goh for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.